Now, Pastor Chad talked about getting busy for the Lord's work, doing the Lord's work. A couple of us went out this afternoon. Now, we've been going out to Hazel Park, as you guys know, and we've been seeing some fruit from that. Dennis and I had a guy get saved, and he told me earlier that he had a lady, was it last week or a week before, trusted Christ her Savior. Well, we decided after church this morning to go hit up my neighborhood on my trailer park, and Brother Dennis got talking with a guy, and so Gabe and I walked down the road just handing out flyers for the church, and we get pretty much done, and Mr. Barry come out chasing us down with the flyer. I'm like, oh boy, this isn't going to be good. Let me tell you, it was good. It was good. He chased us down, and he asked me, where's your church? I said, it's here. 52909 10 Mile Road. He wanted to know about the church, so we told him, and he asked if he could come with us. I said, absolutely, come on down. So we brought him here tonight, and we were able to lead him to Christ, lead him to the Lord. Yeah. Mr. Barry got saved tonight. That's pretty encouraging, especially to a young preacher. Before I get going, I want to say thanks. I'm thankful to be here. I hope you guys are thankful to be here too. But I want to preach a message tonight from the book of 1 John, chapter 1. The Lord gave me something about a month and a half ago, and here it is. 1 John chapter 1, you know, you talk about an amazing book for the born-again believer. This book is chock full of practical advice for the Christian who is seeking fellowship with God. You know, Chad, if you want to name it, that's probably what the name of the message would be, fellowship with God. So, and I like the definition of fellowship. The Webster 1828 defines it as companionship, a mutual association of persons on equal and friendly terms. I mean, what sounds better than that? You know, I love gathering here in Jesus' name at this church. We're all in agreement of what is believed here and preached here. You know, I love the fellowship we have. I mean, really, you guys are great. I absolutely 100% love my church family. But I made some great friends here, you know, but I want something more. I want to have true biblical fellowship with God. You know, thankfully, God is gracious and loving and good to us as Christians. You see, he lays out a formula here in 1 John chapter 1. That's simple to figure out. And I don't know about you guys, but I was never really good in high school math. Started getting into calculus, and I'm now. No, so I'm thankful that the Lord made it easy for us. He doesn't want to make it hard for us, because he wants us to have fellowship with him. He wants to walk with us. I normally don't do this, but we'll look at a couple of verses here before we get into the message. I want to look at verses 5 through 7. Start in verse 5, it says, this then is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. Now, praise God for that. Verse 6 says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now look at the scripture for a minute here. I know when the verse says, if we walk, that doctrinally it's speaking about our Christian walk. But practically, when you're walking somewhere, would you prefer to be able to see where it is that you're walking and who's it with, i.e. in the light of Jesus Christ? Or would you prefer not to see where it is you're going and who's alongside you? Let's not forget what John 3:19 says. It says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You ever notice that it seems like a lot of bad, sinful things seem to always happen at night? There's no coincidence in that. The devil's out there lurking about, seeking whom he can devour. But tonight, I'm glad that God is light. Just like the book says, and in him is no darkness at all. And that if we walk in the light, we will have fellowship with him one with another. Well, let's dive into the text. We're going to read the whole chapter. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, that which refers to Jesus Christ, by the way, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship was with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Brother Gabe, do you ask the Lord to bless the preaching, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you that in this dark world that is totally against you, it is awesome. The theme of the flames of Eno is a small work. It is awesome to see you working, Lord, just today and in multiple ways, Lord. And we thank you for that. Thank you for showing up in this church, Lord, and doing your work and your will, and not ours, but yours, Lord. We pray for that now, Lord. I pray that you come here, have the Spirit be with Todd and Dan. Give us the word that you would want us to hear, Lord. Give them the words that you would want them to say. Be with all of us. Give us a blessing here, Lord. In your name, amen.
Amen. I don't know if I forgot to mention it, but when we went out door knocking this afternoon, Brother Dennis also led somebody to Christ. So we had two in one day, and that's encouraging to a young preacher. I thank God for the zeal that He's putting some of these guys on here. It's starting to rub off on me. I'm starting to get fired up, and I thank Him for that. There are three things that I found in this passage. There's a formula, three things of the formula for having fellowship with God. Now, number one, we must recognize our sin. Number two is kind of twofold, but it's kind of the same thing. We must confess and repent of our sin. And finally, we must rest in the Lord. Now, I think, you know, from the human standpoint, the hardest thing that we have to do is take a step back and actually recognize the sin that's in our lives. And don't get all super spiritual on me here. I mean, we're all sinners. Amen. Here I said, we're all sinners. Amen. No one in this room here tonight is exempt from that. Let's look at verse 8. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That doesn't get any clearer. But maybe you're still not convinced you're a sinner. I won't make you turn there for time's sake. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For all have sinned. Okay, so we're on a roll here. I'm going to give you one more. Romans 3:23 says, for a few of us here tonight have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, that's not what it says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you getting the picture here?
Amen.
Sin is a death sentence. Sin has driven a wedge between us and the fellowship that we desire to have with God.
Yeah,
you can't blatantly sin against an almighty God and expect to walk in fellowship with Him. It's not going to happen. I want to look over at Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. The parable of the prodigal son. I'm sure we've all read it. I know I have. And we can see that this parable shows us the picture of our Father in heaven. It also shows us the nature of repentance and God's readiness to welcome all who come home to Him.
Yes.
Okay, now I know Pastor Chad just preached on it on last Sunday, which was kind of funny. Last Sunday morning, I asked him, hey, Chad, what are you preaching on today? He said, the prodigal son. I kind of laughed at myself a little bit. I thought to myself, how amazing it is God works. Part of my message is on the same subject matter. And I'm sure we'll get something completely different out of it. I pray that we do. But you know, I saw a few times during Institute where Pastor Chad and Pastor Mike would have their lessons coincide. And the great part was neither of them knew what the other one was preaching on. You know, it's just amazing how God works. But I want to look at the subject matter tonight. It's going to be verses 11 through 24. So let's dive in here. Luke 15, we'll start in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, every time I read this parable, I always focus on the second part of it, second half of it, about the prodigal's brother and his bad spirit. To the prodigal's brother, it was all about me, me, me. Give me mine. Look at how good I'm living for the Lord. But God showed me something in the first half of it that I've never seen before. When the prodigal son left his father's house and went into a faraway land, we'll just call it the world for all intents and purposes here tonight, notice something. The father wasn't with him. We see here he wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, riotous is the definition of it. It's characterized by wild and uncontrollable behavior. Out there living in sin, living in the world. Notice, the father wasn't with him. When he was down in the hog pen, sloshing around in the mud and the muck, the father wasn't with him. That fellowship was gone. But what's encouraging to me is what we find in verses 20 through 24. Because when he came back to the house and asked for forgiveness, that fellowship was restored. That fellowship was quickly restored with the father by the prodigal son admitting his sin. I think if we're honest here tonight, we've all got a little bit of the prodigal son in us from time to time. You look at verse 20, it tells us he arose and came to his father's house. Why? I picture it because he was beat down, bruised, battered, broken by living out in the world, living in his sin. What's encouraging, it says, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. What's that tell you? His father was watching for him and looking. Now, I'm glad the father is watching and waiting for us repentant sinners to come back to him. And let me tell you, God's not flipping either about a son coming home. Look at what the verse says. It said he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. God's not sitting up there in heaven like, yep, Mesa got right again. Whoop-de-doo. No, that's not how it is. He's excited. In verses 22 through 24, look at it. Father gets out his best robe and put it on him. He put a ring on his hand to let everybody know that he was his son. He put shoes on his feet. Now look, servants didn't wear shoes back then. Right there, his son had to have known that even though he didn't deserve it, his father loved him and forgave him anyway. Now verse 23 says he brought forth a fatted calf and killed it and ate it. Look at verse 24. I wrote down in here that I like this verse. I'm going to change. I love this verse. It says, I can imagine that father watching, seeing his son coming. I can imagine the excitement that he must have had. He says in verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The father was so happy that his son came home, he celebrated. You know, God wants you to come back to him tonight too. It doesn't matter what sin you have in your life. Let's look back in 1 John chapter 1. This is where the rubber meets the road, folks. Verse 9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the key to the formula. if you want to have true fellowship with the Lord. And I think oftentimes as Christians, we let the little, you know, seemingly small sins in our life go unnoticed. You know, the seemingly insignificant sin. But the problem with that is it turns into a bigger one. And then that turns into an even bigger one. And the next thing we know, we're completely backslidden on God's and our life's a mess. Now, I'm not saying everybody in here is backslidden on the outside like the prodigal son was. But maybe there's someone in here tonight who's backslidden on the inside like his brother was. I'm going to use this illustration. I think a good illustration of ignoring small sin in our lives would be what happened to Pastor's car last Sunday. For those of you who weren't here and don't know, Pastor's car broke down, actually in our parking lot, praise God for that, with his mother-in-law driving it, with a carload of kids in it. Now, why did it break down? Something so small, it was overlooked. I mean, by me, that is, okay? There's a sensor. I'm going to break this down in layman's terms. There's a sensor that monitors airflow, and in front of that, you have an air filter. Well, a small piece of that air filter came up. I mean, teeny, tiny, small little piece of it got sucked into that air sensor and caused the car to stall out. And when that happens, there's no more moving forward. Just like in our lives as Christians, sin will stall you out, it will bog you down, and eventually, there's no more forward progress that you are making for the Lord. But I'm glad that God is faithful and just to forgive, just like verse 9 says. Confessing our sin will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say a little bit, it says all unrighteousness. I want to have a relationship with God. I want Him to look down on me like I look at my sons. I want Him to be proud of me as His son. I mean, what kid wants to be a disappointment to his father? I'm going to be real with you for a minute here. I remember a couple weeks ago, I was sitting on the couch watching TV in the morning. It was just Wesley and I were awake. Everybody else was sleeping. We're sitting there watching TV. And I remember looking down at him, thinking, man, how proud I am of him. He's my son. You know, how much I love him as my son. And I started to get convicted because I knew I'd been struggling lately and I wasn't right with God. And I wondered if at that moment, if he looked down on me, could he say the same thing? I got convicted. I can't stand the feeling of being out of fellowship with God. It's encouraging to me that if we simply confess our sin to God, our fellowship and relationship can be restored just like that. Now for the last part. We've seen we need to recognize the sin in our life. We need to confess that sin. And lastly, we need to rest in the Lord. John 15, verse 7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. To abide, I'm going to give you a list of them. To abide, the definition is to rest or dwell. Who doesn't want to rest or dwell in the Lord? To tarry, to continue permanently in the same state, to be firm and immovable, to remain or to continue, to endure or sustain, to bear patiently. Resting in the Lord gives us a peace like no other, and with peace comes joy. Let's look back at verses 3 and 4 in 1 John chapter 1, and I'll close out here on this thought. Verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Watch it now. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. You see, our joy can be full through the fellowship that we have with the Father and His Son. And if we keep short accounts with the Lord, that fellowship won't be broken and our joy in our life will remain. Now, I want to encourage you tonight to examine your fellowship with the Lord. Take a step back and ask yourself, is my joy truly full? Let's pray.